Thank you very much, Madam Chairperson. Cordial greetings to all those following this meeting, also to those following online. I should also like to welcome the delegation of the Republic of Maldives. I trust that this dialogue will be a very fruitful one. I am going to turn to paragraphs 10 and 11 on gender equality and on violence against women, respectively. I would ask the following questions. On 10, first of all, in its second period of report, the State Party flagged that in September 2019, the gender equality policy was adopted. Based on this, there was a Gender Equality Action Plan 2022-2026, which was adopted, or which is currently, in the last phase of adoption. Could you please tell us what this gender equality policy consists of, and what have been the results thus far of the Gender Equality Action Plan? Secondly, with the aim of updating the information contained in the second periodic report, which was received in March 2022, could the delegation please inform us as to the current proportion of women in the executive, the parliament, and the judiciary, as well as in other state institutions? In that report, it stated that 33% of ministries within the government were headed by women. It also recognised the low rate of representation of women in Parliament without giving figures or percentages, and it highlighted the improved representation of women in the judiciary, where there were 20 female judges and there were 42.7% of the staff was women. According to information received from various sources, a significant backslide has been noted in women's representation in the current Parliament and in government ministries. Thirdly, and following on from a topic that was already raised by Mr. José Santos Page, but now on gender equality, I'd like to touch on paragraph 95 of the second periodic report. In this paragraph, it states that by reforming the family law, the government seeks to ensure that women can exercise their rights in equal conditions on an equal footing with men, as long as Sharia is not contravened. Could the delegation of the State Party clarify that statement and clarify whether or not it is compatible with the Covenant on Civil and Political Rights and other international human rights instruments? Lastly, on this point 10, civil society have alleged that there are serious obstacles facing women with disabilities when it comes to access to medical care, education, employment, and in particular protection from abuse, including from sexual abuse and domestic violence, which are not usually addressed or they are socially normalised. On this, what measures has the state adopted or is it seeking to adopt to address this situation, which doubly discriminates against women with disabilities? Then we now move to several questions on paragraph 11, violence against women, including domestic violence. According to information received, domestic violence remains a grave problem and in recent times has even increased. To that effect, in the second periodic report, it states that due to the restrictions on the law preventing domestic violence, the Family Protection Authority has not yet established a formal complaints mechanism. Nonetheless, this institution does receive and refer complaints from victims, family members, or witnesses. Moreover, although certain acts constitute domestic violence and are considered as crimes, domestic violence as such is not criminalised in the law on prevention of domestic violence. On that basis then, what measures has the state adopted or is it seeking to adopt to address and remedy these situations? Secondly, we'd also like to know whether you have planned any amendments to the Criminal Code and to the Law on Sexual Offences to decriminalise adultery and extramarital relations, which are currently punished with prison sentences and house arrest. Thirdly, could you please tell the committee whether you have adopted or whether you are planning to adopt measures to prevent or prohibit the practice of female genital mutilation? According to information available, this continues to affect a significant percentage of girls and women. And this is a practice in which doctors and nurses have midwives have participated in. Can you also tell us about measures adopted to combat violence against women and children in terms of the practice of rukia, including measures to combat the prevalence of levels of acceptance of such practices by those who provide institutional services and to put an end to impunity of perpetrators of this violence? Could you please tell us about any investigations and the results there too for a particular case of sexual violence that was mentioned in the press in June 2020 in the framework of a rukia? Lastly, could you tell us whether you are planning to amend the Law on Sexual Offences with a view to reducing the excessive burden of proof that this legal text imposes on women? This very often makes it difficult to have sentences handed down. In particular, Article 52 of this law requires at least 5 types of evidence to have the crime of rape, sexual abuse, or sexual aggression proven beyond all reasonable doubt. I look forward to your answers, and I thank you in advance for the information you'll give us. Thank you.